everybody, and welcome back to this episode of Southern Onion Podcast. It's us, your favorite twins. I'm Erica.
I'm Erin. And I have an Earth Day tip that I forgot to share.
How dare. Okay.
I know. Okay, so dryer sheets are horrible because they have petroleum on them, and of course they cause a lot of waste, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been using dryer balls. Have you ever used them before?
No.
They're made of 100% wool. There's no chemicals in them. Mm-hmm. And you put it in your dryer, and I swear, you get no static electricity, and it takes less drying time for your clothes.
But, like, how does it prevent the static electricity and all that, though?
Well, I think because it's wool. It's 100% wool, so it must be able to somehow keep
magic.
Yeah, it's magic.
It's wool magic.
It's wool magic, yeah.
Okay.
And it lasts up to 500 washes or uses, you know. So
okay, or 3 weeks for people with small children.
Yeah.
That's good.
So there you go. Yeah. So that's my, I love them. They're great. So.
Well, look at this. What an excellent tip. And you didn't even have to, you know, the listeners didn't have to pay for it. That's great.
I threw you. There you go.
From our free podcast, yes.
That's right. Yes, from our free podcast.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you for all the support to our returning listeners. Welcome back. We love that you're still here with us. Thank you so much. To our new listeners, hello and welcome to Southern Onion Podcast. Just a brief description, Erin and I are fraternal twins. We like true crime, so we thought, why not talk about it? So that's what we've done. We are not professional researchers, nor are we affiliated with any law enforcement or law offices. All opinions are just that, opinions of our own. So if you're looking for in-depth professional reviews, you just go ahead. We appreciate you stopping by. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
No hard feelings. No. And if you haven't already, give us a follow on Instagram at Southern Onion Podcast. DMs are open. If you have a question, just want to say hi or have a show idea that you'd like for us to go over. Or if you want a shout out, if you're like, hey, I've been listening, why don't you mention my name? We would love to do it. We try not to give out any names of people that we talk to unless we get their permission first.
Right. Yep.
Because we're polite like that.
That's right.
And, you know, but it's really cool that you listen. And if you haven't already, please give us a review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to us. Also, leave a comment. If you really, really like us, tell your friends, your coworkers, your family, because let's share the Southern Onion love, right? Nothing wrong
there
with
you
that. So, Erin, how's it been going?
It's been going good. Staying busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love work.
I was about to say, because you are a renaissance woman, and you like to mow the yard and plant and do all that.
Oh, yes. It's been fun.
Maggie helps.
Yes, Maggie helps. She supervises.
Yeah. Okay, good. I don't think we've shared this childhood memory, so walk down memory lane with me, Erin. Remember when Mom, one time, she was planting marigolds along the driveway, and we had a cat that would come behind her and bite the blooms off of those marigolds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, I remember that.
So she would spend, and Mom loved planting flowers, and it's always a big event, you know. But then this one cat, I don't know what its deal was, but Mom would, like, plant 2 or 3 little marigolds, and she'd go to another spot, and the cat would just come and just bite the blooms off and then just walk away. So
yep.
So if you have a funny gardening story, why don't you share that with us? We'll be glad to share with all of our listeners, because why not? Let's have some. Yep. We can laugh. It's okay. Sure. The world doesn't have to be doom and gloom all the time.
No.
Boo.
That's so right.
Yeah, so I've been pretty much Dungeons, Dragons, video games, work, you know, living the dream. Waiting for gas prices to come down.
Yeah, that would be great. But
yeah. It's fine. Whatever. We do what we got to do. So
that's right.
All right. Well, we hope everybody has had a great week, had a good weekend, staying safe and enjoying the warmer weather and longer hours in the sunlight. I love it. My freckles really start to show off, start to really shine during this time. So we're happy about it. So we're going to make this a little bit shorter. Introduction, just because we're getting into part two now of Pam Hupp. So if you haven't, go ahead and go back to listen to part one, because Erin left us on kind of a cliffhanger
I did.
With Miss Pam here. And so I was caught off guard because I don't know much about the case. So I've been learning along with the listeners. And so Pam's defense. So this is where Betsy's husband, Russ, has been put into jail, but then it was overturned and now he's found not guilty. And so Pam, whose story has changed throughout this whole thing, comes out with a new alibi of her and Betsy. So, Erin, I have set the stage. Take it away.
Well, what you got? Right. Well, we know that Pam had said something about her and Betsy being lovers, which we, you know, can't prove that or anything like that.
Right. But, yeah. Just getting one side of the story here.
Right. So, but, you know, Russ is found not guilty, as we know in the first episode that we've done of this, that the children of Betsy had filed a civil lawsuit against Pam wanting their $150,000. But, of course, unfortunately, they lost that case.
Yeah.
So, Pam has $150,000. She is not sitting in jail or anything for the murder of Betsy, but nobody is at this point.
Correct. Okay? Right.
Because Russ is out. And so you would think that Pam would have been like, okay, I need to fly under the radar. Don't say anything. Don't do anything that could cause attention. Right.
Right. Kind of get under the radar. Right. And go to the Bahamas or whatever location you want to choose. Right. And just disappear.
Right. Well, August 2016 in O'Fallon, Missouri, there's a 911 call. And it comes, a 911 call comes in, and it's a woman, and she's asking for help because someone is breaking into her home. That woman is Pam Hupp.
She's the caller?
She is the caller. Now, you can hear on the call as she's calling for help, she's saying something to the person, no, no, I won't get in the car with you. But the way she's saying it is very calm. Almost like it's kind of rehearsed.
Okay. Like there's not a real threat happening. Okay.
Right. Now there's a man, you hear a man's voice, and he says, should we do to you what we did to your wife? And then Pam says, no, no, I won't get in the car with you. Then you hear gunshots. And the man is dead. So the police come, and Pam goes to the police department with them to give her statement. Okay, now this is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
Pam claims she had no choice but to shoot the man. She claims that the man attacked her as she sat in her car. He tells her that, hey, we're going to go to the bank to get Russ's money. Now, very interesting, right?
So we're still trying to set Russ up for all.
There you go. Okay. Now, Pam said the man had a knife, but she was able to knock the knife out of his hand, and she ran into her house.
Okay.
And the man is running hot on her trail right behind her.
Okay.
She goes to her bedroom. She gets out her gun. The door kind of like flies open, and she starts shooting, and she empties the gun.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think all of us listening have probably seen a lot of Law and Order SVU shows. Just saying. And if somebody's running after you, you usually don't have time to go run into your bedroom and get your gun and get it ready and then turn around and shoot the person. They're usually right on your heels. So.
Now, they ask, how did this man get there? Sorry, Maggie had something to say.
Yeah, Maggie's worked up about this.
So they asked her, they said, how did the man get to your house? Did somebody bring him? And she said, yes. There was a driver, and he brought her to her home, and he had a buzz cut, and he was dark-skinned. Well, she described Russ Ferreira.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
When is she going to realize she needs to get off of the Russ blame train?
Right, that's what gets me, is she's saying that Russ is the one that brought this guy over to go threaten her to go get his money,
right? Because he says we're gonna get the husband's money. Because that, if I were Russ and I were talking to Pam, I would totally say that we are gonna get the husband's money, Pam. And it would be me, the husband.
Now, Right. On the body, the police, you know, find on the body, there's a note. And in this note, there's direct, like, instructions like, get Russ money, get rid of Hup. And in the man's pockets is 9 $100 bills.
Okay.
So. So they bring Russ in because, of course, Pam named him.
Of course. Poor Russ.
Gave, I know. Oh, God. He gave fingerprint, handwriting samples. He has an alibi. Everything checks out. And they're like, okay, you can go, Russ.
Are they going to believe his alibi this time? Has the prosecutor decided, oh, wait, the first alibi was true. This one must be as well.
The good thing about this is, since it's in O'Fallon, Missouri, that's St. Charles County, so it's a different prosecutor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So the police search Pam's house, and they find a $100 bill in her nightstand, and it's linked to the $100 bills that's in the man's pocket.
She just had to keep money for herself.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because, I mean, had she put all of them in his pocket, right? They wouldn't be able to tie that back to her, but she just had to hold on to one more.
Right. So they are able to identify who the man is. His name is Louis Guppenberg. I hope I'm saying that correct. He was 33 years old, and he lived with his mom in an apartment complex 13 miles from Pam's house. He had traumatic brain injury from a car accident, so he was not capable of doing the things that Pam was claiming mentally or physically. Right. So he couldn't run. I mean, he couldn't run. He couldn't. He couldn't do the things that Pam was saying.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
That.
So.
That gum. Yeah. Okay. Well. So we're getting ready. I'm sure we're getting ready to find out how this he came to be in Pam's life and.
So the question is, how did Pam and Louis cross paths? I mean, like you said, how did they end up with each other? Because we know Russ was not the one that brought him over there.
Right.
And why was he over there? So this gets interesting. So 6 days before the shooting, a woman by the name of Carol McAfee comes to the police department because she wants the police to know something that's been going on in her neighborhood.
Okay.
So there was a woman in a black SUV, and she showed up at Carol's home. Now, the woman tells Carol that she is from Dateline, that she's from Chicago, and her name is Kathy. Now, Kathy wants her to do sound bites for Dateline, and she's going to pay her $1,000 cash.
Okay,
so, you know, you're a little suspicious, but then you're thinking, man, $1,000 just to, like, do voiceovers?
Sure, right?
I mean, that's and it's cash money. I mean, it's not like you got to, you know.
Right. So gone are the days are, hey, do you want to see my puppy or kitten? It's now, hey, you want to do a soundbite for Dateline for $1,000?
Right. So, you know, Carol's leery, but she agrees to go with the woman, goes with Kathy.
Yeah.
But soon she realizes something's wrong. Like, this lady's acting odd. This isn't really adding up. And so Carol gets cold feet, and she asks the woman to take her back to her house, which she did. She did take Carol back.
Okay.
So in a lineup, because they had, like, different pictures of women, she picks out Pam.
Oh, Pam.
Now, Carol, being smart, because she was really smart, she has cameras on the outside of her house. They were able to get the license plate number of that vehicle. And it belongs to Pam.
So Pam was driving her own vehicle around town.
Now, the police send out an emergency search warrant, like, to Google, requesting a location history on Pam's phone for the day of the shooting. They are able to see all the places that Pam went that day, and she was at Lewis's apartment complex. There's also camera footage from a bakery that's near that area that shows Lewis in Pam's vehicle.
So, being of diminished cognitive reasoning function, $1,000 to do that would seem logical, and you wouldn't be able to say, hey, wait, this isn't right, just like Carol was able to.
Yeah. So wow. they arrest her for Lewis's murder.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. So, I mean, this makes sense in a way because remember, she's peddling this $1,000 around, mm-hmm. but yet Lewis has $900 in his pocket and then $100 of it's up in her bedroom. Like, what? I don't understand what that was even about. You know what I mean?
Oh, she probably, yeah.
So, yeah.
Always the con artist, always.
Right.
I guess.
And if you watch the show, the thing about Pam, mm-hmm. it shows where what Pam was trying to do was trying to get Lewis, when she was on the phone with 911, to say, do you want me to do to you what we did to Russ's wife? But Lewis didn't get it correct, and it kind of came off as, do you want me to do what we did to your wife?
Oh, okay.
So it was a way of framing Russ.
Right.
Because it was making it look like Russ asked this guy to come in and kill her for the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just in case everybody's like, wait a minute. Yeah.
Right.
This story has a lot of moving parts in it. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So they arrest her, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they bring Pam in. They're going to talk to her again because of this murder and everything.
Right.
Remember the first time she said it was self-defense and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Pam lawyers up. She's like, I want a lawyer.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're like, okay, all right. So they leave her alone in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees an ink pen sitting on the table. So she takes that ink pen and she's able to tuck it away in her pants.
Okay. So
just... Now you see this on video. Yeah.
Okay.
So she asks them, hey, can I go to the bathroom? Which are like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
So after a few minutes, they're like, we need to, did anybody check on Pam? Like, we need to go check on Pam. This mm-hmm. is taking a while. They opened the door and they found that she took that ink pen and stabbed herself in the neck.
Oh, okay.
And there's like blood all over the bathroom floor and.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Pam does live. She survives. And they said that it was very superficial wounds. Because as you know, blood can make it look like a lot. A little bit makes it look like a lot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when you see this, it's like, oh, but they said it was superficial wounds. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's sitting in jail. Some of the officers come forward and say, you know, Pam is a cold person, mm-hmm. that when she's around other inmates, she likes to be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
She also loves to pit people against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
okay.
Oh, so-and-so said this about you. So-and-so said this about you. So she's a very master manipulator type personality.
Right. Yeah.
So, as I told you, we are in a different county, which means we're dealing with a different prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Lomar. His name last name is Lomar. So, he is seeking the death penalty in this case.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
So, they tell her, we're going to give you a deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll give you a deal, and that'll take the death penalty off the mm-hmm. table. She wants to talk to Mark, her husband. So, she gets on the prison phone and says, you know, with everything going on with me, everybody knows a lot about me. I think I just need to take this plea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mark is very different in this. And he said, why would you plead guilty for something if you didn't do it?
Exactly. Right. Right.
But Pam's take on it is, well, I've been in the news so much that everybody's going to think I'm guilty anyway.
Oh, stop. Okay.
You see what I mean?
So yeah. Kind of being the martyr, like, well, people aren't going to believe me. Woe is me. I'm a victim here. Blah, blah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Okay.
So, she does take the plea, but she does it on an Alfred plea.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Which we all know about Alfred plea.
Right. The Alfred plea is pretty much, even though we don't have the evidence, we feel you could still be found guilty of.
Right. You are admitting guilt, right?
You're admitting guilt without there being any evidence to show you're guilty, right? Did I get that right?
Well, no, it's that you're not pleading guilty, but you know that there's enough evidence out that would make you guilty.
That
they could find you guilty. Yes.
Sorry.
It's been a long day. Yes.
Sorry.
No.
Apologies.
Yes. So 2 months later, a judge mm-hmm. sentences Pam to life in prison plus 30 years for armed criminal action.
Armed criminal action. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And I do want to not gloss over the fact Pam's married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark.
Sorry.
Mark.
I'm just like, oh, wait, she's had a husband this whole time.
She has.
And she's out doing all this mess. with a husband at home.
Yes. Wow. And children. Yeah.
And children. Okay.
And children.
Wow,
yes.
Pam.
Yep. Wow. So Leah Askey, that who we talked about, the first prosecutor, she got voted out of office in 2018.
Can't imagine why.
The guy won by a landslide, by the way. His name is Mike Wood. Yeah. In case everybody's wondering.
Okay.
And Mike Wood has opened up the Betsy Faria case.
Oh, good. Okay.
So it is now open. He opened it up. And they actually have charged Pam with the murder of Betsy, just so everybody knows. So she's supposed to be going on trial here this year, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Unless something comes about, as you know, with everything going on.
Right.
So here Pam is sitting in prison, right? And it's like, okay.
Reality's crushing in,
Right. But there is a question about her mother. Okay.
Okay.
So that Pam may be involved with the murder of her mother.
Okay.
So Shirley Newman, who is Pam's mother, was found dead in 2013 on Halloween. She was found dead at like the ground of the third floor of the retirement unit that she lived in.
Oh, okay.
So she was on the third floor and they found her body on the ground. It appeared that she had tripped and fallen through the railings, like the slat railings.
Yeah.
On her balcony.
Wow.
Right. So, Pam.
Okay. Now, sorry.
Just to kind of rewind a little bit, Pam had stated in an interview back when they were interviewing her about Betsy, she said to the investigators that her mother was worth $500,000 and that Betsy's $150,000 was nothing to her. Well, because when her mother died, she was going to get $500,000.
Right. Yeah. And, okay. And still, this was not seen by the prosecutor at that time as, wait, we might have some more motive here. Right? Because, well, but there she's saying, well, oh, well, $150,000, why would I do it? My mom, I'm going to get
$500,000.
So,
that's
her
why
reasoning.
Why would I kill Betsy for $150,000 when I'm going to get $500,000 when my mother dies?
Right. Okay.
Okay. So Pam is the last known person to be with her mother.
Of course.
So she was with her mom on Halloween night. She goes downstairs getting ready to leave the retirement center. And she tells the front desk lady, she said, hey, my mom's not coming down for dinner or breakfast the next morning.
Yeah, why would she know for breakfast? Dinner is plausible, but breakfast the next day? Okay.
So that they found the mother's body the next afternoon.
Right, because they're wondering where she's at,
Right.
Oh,
now,
my
it
gosh.
Was ruled, right, and it was ruled an accident at first. But this prosecutor, he has opened the case back up, and they have done their own testing, and they found that it would take like a 2,000 pounds to break the spindles on that railing.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So they're looking at this as, why would she, wouldn't she go over the railing? Why would she go, like, trip and go under the spindle?
Right.
And those spindles, it takes, like, 2,000 pounds of, you know, force to even break them.
Yeah, because, well, and you would think with the retirement community and the building codes that it would have to be pretty up, you know, high up there because you can't just have anybody, someone with dementia, bad balance, trip, they need to be able to grab onto that railing without it giving way. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. And you remember when Pam said she was going to get $500,000?
Yeah.
Well, Pam only got $120,000 because it got divided up among her siblings.
Oh, forgot about the siblings. Oh, Pam.
Yeah. Yep.
Quite the... Quite the surprise when you're like, oh, 500,000. Oh, what? 100?
Right. Now, July of 2021, you know, the prosecutor filed murder charges against Pam for the murder of Betsy. So that's expected to start this year.
Okay.
Now, Wood also stated that he has three witnesses from the first case when they were trying Russ that Askey asked them to lie on the stand.
What?
These three witnesses are in law enforcement.
And as a prosecutor, you can't tell people to lie on the stand. Like, no matter who, even the lawyers cannot. Family members, friends, nobody can tell you to go lie on the stand. Oh, my goodness.
Now, Askey denies the allegations, and she still believes that Russ is guilty to this day.
Well, she won't let it go because how could she let that go? That was her, that was her case, and she failed miserably.
Right. And it was her first case as a prosecutor. And she has since remarried and now has her own law firm in Missouri.
First cut's the deepest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think she regrets ever being a prosecutor.
Well,
I think she had even said it kind of, because I mean, now it's making her look.
Well, it's going to follow her the rest
of
her life.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad. And, right, yeah.
And how many, I mean, what a position to be in, because then you have to wonder, how did she get voted into that office if she had never tried a case before?
Right, yeah.
Like, how did she get voted in? What credentials did she have? Hey, I think I would do great. Vote for me. Was that her campaign slogan? I think we've talked about it. I don't know. Maybe I've just thought about it real hard. We do not mind. We don't care who you vote for. But do your research and vote that way. Don't just, oh, well, they're pretty, or I like their slogan, or I like their... Research. Mm-hmm. Know who you're voting for. No matter what. Again, I don't care. We don't care what side you're on. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But just research. Don't just say, I'm voting this way because I just vote that way, period. No.
Right.
Because now you got a prosecutor who had never tried a case and was a public and was in the district attorney's office. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So, Pam has pled not guilty in the Betsy Ferreira murder.
Of course.
I hope I'm saying that correct. It's either Ferreira or Ferreira. I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong. But the prosecutor is seeking a death penalty.
Well,
And I don't think they're going to bargain on this. I really don't think they're going to let her plea on this.
I would.
Could be wrong, but.
So, she'll probably face the death penalty with Betsy's case. She's facing the death penalty with Lewis's case.
Well, she ended up doing the Alfred plea on
that one. Oh, that's right. I apologize.
So she's got life in prison on that one. So she's currently still in prison, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, she won't be getting out.
No.
And then with her mom's case, though, they're reopening that, right?
That has been reopened.
Okay.
But she's not been named in that case yet. I mean, they haven't charged anybody with that.
Right.
Because I think they're still working on getting all the pieces of the puzzle together.
Right. She just, if anything, she might just be a person of interest.
Right. It doesn't look good.
Well, no, I'd say not.
I mean, you're the last person. I mean, and here's the thing, and I'll say this, and why do you think that she killed Betsy? This was her friend.
Yeah.
This was somebody she helped take care of who was sick with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my theory and see what you think.
Okay.
4 days before Betsy was killed, Pam was named the beneficiary.
Right.
Okay, so she knew she's going to get $150 when Betsy died.
Mm-hmm.
I think that day when Betsy said, no, I don't want you to come over here for the cancer treatment. I'm good. I don't need you.
Yes.
I think maybe Pam was afraid that Betsy was starting to maybe think better of it.
Sure.
And could actually name somebody else as the beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam wanted that money.
Right. And so her reasoning was, let me go ahead and kill her before she can change the policy.
Right. Now, that is my speculation theory. It's not been proven.
Oh, yeah.
Because why would you want to kill your friend? What would be the reasoning behind that?
Right. Unless it was money motivated.
Right.
Yeah.
Because look what she did. She ended up keeping the money for herself.
Mm-hmm.
She did not give anything to Betsy's children.
No.
And she took that $150. She got a facelift. And then I don't know where the rest of the money went.
Yeah. Well, and Lord, there's no telling where it went either.
Right.
I mean, into just probably frivolous things for her enjoyment. For Pam's enjoyment.
But like I said, again, that's my humble opinion about it. I'm not saying she's guilty because she is innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
But this is a theory that's been brought up is, you know, why would she kill her friend?
Well, you always, what, you know? most murders, most homicides are done by the victim knows the person who's killed them. There or mm-hmm. the person is associated closely. And so here's another, unfortunately, another case. But then Lewis just happened to be one of those random, just wrong place, wrong time. And she preyed off of his, you know, impairments because of his, you know, trauma that he had. Which is just terrible. For anybody to do. That's just low. That is just, that's low. But money has to be a motivator. It has to be for her because mom passing and then, you know, her friend with being named the beneficiary. And then, but it just seems like Lewis's murder to me. And again, these are all opinions. These are just what we speculate. We have no insider information. We've never claimed it. But my thinking is with Lewis, he was a pawn in, again, trying to take Light off of Pam and put it back on Russ. By trying to get Lewis to say the script, and he couldn't read the script correctly. And then, and then again, what was it? It was money that tied her to it because she kept $100 of the alleged thousand that she was going around saying, hey, let's do some over, you know, voiceovers, and we'll pay you $1,000. And I'm like,
You know, and the thing is, Pam's innocent until proven guilty. And we'll see as this trial goes, goes up this year, I believe. We'll keep everybody posted.
We'll follow this for sure.
Right. So here is the twist, but you've all been waiting for.
Oh boy.
Because there's one more twist in this story.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Do you remember Carol McAfee, the lady that got in the car with Kathy, aka Pam Hupp or whatever?
Yeah, right.
Okay. She is engaged to Russ.
Stop it.
Yes. They met through mutual friends and they are currently engaged and they're waiting to get everything kind of tied up with everything and then they're going to get married.
Wow.
And I'm very happy for them. They seem like they're very happy.
That is wonderful. I wish them all the happiness they deserve, definitely. Little odd, though, because it's like, how did you meet? And it has to be said through some relations, some connections to Pam Hupp, though. But hey.
Yeah. So.
Silver lining, if there is to be one to have. If there's one to be had. Yes. Sorry.
Yes,
that
if there's one to be had.
No, if there's one to be had, that is it.
Yeah.
Wow. So okay. Yeah.
So that is the case of Pam Hupp.
To be continued.
Yes.
We're just getting started on this one because that's going to be very interesting to watch and see because how is she going? I wonder if she'll even take the stand for herself.
I wonder that too.
Because, I mean, if she does, there is no telling what she would say or will say. Because, I mean, I would think right now, if I was Pam, I'm getting desperate. I'm looking at three murders here that she did or did not commit, but I'm looking to be tried for three murders. And how do you, if you think you're as sly as a fox, as they say, you're probably like, you're not sweating it. You're just like, I'm here, whatever.
Well, and see, with Lewis, she got life in prison, but with Betsy and Shirley, we don't know yet. But that new prosecutor is going to he's pressed charges on the Betsy case, but not yet on the Shirley case.
Right.
They're still working on it. I don't know. I mean, that's just what they say on Dateline. So,
Right.
You know, that's what they're bringing up. So. Yeah. But, you know, through all of this is sad. And, you know, of course, we feel. Our hearts go out to the families of everybody.
Oh, yeah. Families and friends and people impacted. Yeah. Because all of these, all three of these were senseless. They were done out of greed, malice, whatever word you want to use, because there was no reason for it other than here was this person that just had an axe to grind or whatever. Because she's married, she's got kids.
Yeah.
Where did she find the time, honestly? I mean.
Right. Yeah. And I want to think her and her husband used to, like, do flip houses and stuff and do real estate things.
And that's always what interests me. What changed? What in the psychology, what in her mind said, you know, I have my job, I've got a husband, I don't know what their relationship was like. I have children.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what their relationship was like with her and their children, but at what point does she turn around and go, well, I think I'm gonna make you make me be a beneficiary, and then I'm just gonna kill you. Like, when does that become okay in one's head?
Right.
You know, to do that. That's where I'm like, okay, is this chemical imbalance? Is this behavioral? Is this, you're just mean? You're just evil? Mm-hmm. You know, like, what is it that just flipped? And now you have possibly murdered, you know, one, but you've possibly murdered three total people.
Right.
And especially because we know just from cases we've covered, female killers, especially female serial killers like her, are rare because women usually kill out of passion. Mm-hmm. Men can kill out of passion, rage, you know, sport, if you will, as gross as it is to describe it as that. But, you know, there's usually not as many, but I don't know. That's the part that intrigues me. Not interest, but intrigues.
Oh, definitely.
You know, but to see where all of this goes will be interesting. So, you know, you can stay with us and we will keep you all updated for sure. We've got a couple of interesting episodes coming up in the future.
Yes.
So next week we're going to be covering the case. It's Vernon Jensen. And the reason we're covering this, because it's going to lead up to the episode after that, which will be Johnny Depp and Amber
Heard.
Thank you. Because we do want to shine a light on, you know, domestic violence is a terrible thing to go through. Don't wish it on anybody. But we also want to remind people that domestic violence, it's not always the women that are the victims of domestic violence. It's sometimes it is the men that are the victims and the women are the abusers. So these next couple of episodes, we're going to be shining a light on that, kind of looking at the full spectrum of it, not just the woman as the victim. It can be the men as well. And it's tough topic to talk about because nobody likes to talk about it. Domestic violence is one of those things that's out there in the world that we kind of know about it, but no one ever really talks about it. I remember when I worked at a large insurance company when I lived in another part of Tennessee. And unfortunately, there were two female coworkers. They were not in my department. We just worked at the same company. But within like weeks of each other, both were murdered by their abusers. And it's shocking. But it's sad how quickly it's swept under the rug because it makes people sad. It makes people uncomfortable. You know, people think there's a weakness out of somebody because domestic violence happens, like from the victim. Well, why don't you just get up and leave? Well, we're going to talk about that. And we've talked about it in other episodes. And we'll bring, I'm sure, a couple of those subjects up again of why. Because it is, a lot of it's psychological about why people don't leave those situations. But I'm sure as where I have, that's, you know, that's happened where I worked with people, unfortunately, who were murdered by their abusers. I'm sure every listener probably has at least one story or knows of at least one person who's been a victim. So, you know, that's something I'd really like to see less and less of in the world, because a lot of it comes down to people not able to manage their anger, their jealousy, their manipulative ways or narcissistic ways.
Right.
So anyway, so we'll get into all that. Sorry to go on that little soapbox, but
yeah,
that's what I do. So, okay. Well, Erin, thanks so much.
Yeah.
What an interesting, interesting. So we know we'll be talking about old Pam again. So,
and Mark and Pam are not married anymore.
Okay.
Mark is now remarried. So
Mark is already remarried. Good for Mark.
Yes, Mark has remarried.
See,
so.
what has he stayed pretty quiet? I mean, has he had anything to say?
From what I can tell, we have not heard a lot out of Mark. Mark has stayed, and he's not charged with anything.
No, he probably didn't realize the second life was going on of Pam. I mean, a lot don't. Just like with Ted Bundy and other cases we've covered, the long-term partner, okay, really, long-term partner or spouses don't realize that they've had the second life.
Right,
they're like, what are you talking about? I thought they were working late, or I thought, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And they were out murdering, so... Goodness. Right. Well, good on you, Mark.
Yep.
Well done.
Yep.
Way
to
go.
There you go.
All right. Perfect. Well, again, we want to thank everybody for listening and tuning in, and make sure you hit subscribe and push notifications so you know when our new episodes come out. New episodes are usually out on Mondays at 6 a.m. Eastern time, because that just seemed like a good time. Honestly, I don't know.
Start your Mondays off right.
Your Mondays off with the twins, right? So thank you again so much. Please make sure to, if you haven't already, follow us on Instagram, Southern Onion Podcast. DMs are open if you'd like to say hello. We'd love to hear from you. Also, make sure you rate, review, leave a comment. If you really liked us, we'd really appreciate it. And if you didn't, it's okay. But you made it to the end of the episode, so maybe secretly you like us. So, well done, Erin. All right. And everybody, thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, take care, stay safe, and keep peeling back those layers of true crime. Bye, Erin.
Bye, Erica.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.